got no heart or no place to roam. Ain't got no home or no place to roam. I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number or try your call again.
Pardon me, sir.
Yes?
Are you by chance a vicious criminal?
Hey, good afternoon and welcome to Reach Radio. Our mission at Reach is placing families in a home, not just a house. We bring you the latest real estate news, money-saving tips, money-buying facts, along with community reports and event information. I'm Alan Mason, your host, and Housing Heffy, letting you know there is no better time to become a homeowner than right now. To get started, call the good folks at Reach and let them know you are ready to become a homeowner. They have the latest information about how you may benefit from their substantial inventory of South Florida properties. Toll-free number for Reach is 855-48-REACH. 855-487-3224 gets the job done. Check out our website at www.reachforhousing.org. That's Reach, the number 4, housing.org. Coming up on today's show, Vince Larkins joins us from the Fair Housing Center of the Palm Beaches. We close Black History Month, and Vince will share some special stories about his family's personal experience during that movement. It's a fascinating story, and he'll be with us shortly. Then Steve Cody checks out the news at the bottom of the hour with today's headlines. His news is the kind of news that makes you go, After that, Perry Borman joins us from the Palm Beach County Food Bank. Wait until you hear what they do about feeding people. Cool thing there. And, of course, this week's Spotlight Home of the Week will show you how the good folks at Reach can make this house your home. And we have something a little special this week, a little different. You want to hang on for that. Then our house segment presents our resident pest control freak, Carlton Thompson. He tells us how to deal with pesky rats and creepy roaches. You're about 35 minutes away from our house. As promised, it's time for South Florida's latest real estate headlines, brought to you by reachforhousing.org, your HUD-approved housing counselor. And now Reach Radio's consistently random voice of wisdom and full-time news orator, Steve Cody.
All right, thank you, Doctor. Here's a sneak preview of what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have some good news for potential home shoppers. A Mortgage Bankers Association index shows that lender requirements for credit scores and down payments and other key mortgage terms are finally loosening up. Oddly enough, Florida had one of the largest declines in homeownership in the nation during the past decade, according to new figures released on Monday by the U.S. Census Bureau. We'll also look at data from the Commerce Department that shows that the median size of a newly constructed home is 106 square feet smaller than back in 2013. Homes are getting smaller. Interesting. Also, a Florida appeals court on Wednesday rejected a claim that a widow could not be hit with a $283,000 tax lien because her husband is the one that signed the homestead exemption. It's been 9 years since the last hurricane hit Florida, yet homeowners across the state still pay twice the national average for basic property insurance. Long-term mortgage rates have risen for the second straight week, yet they're still near historic lows. And we also have a couple of those stories, like Alan says, that'll make you say,
I like that.
Those and much more coming up at the bottom of the hour.
When we return, Vince Larkins joins us from the Fair Housing Center of Palm Beach. And here's another Black History Month factoid. In 1960, during the first 6 months of Kennedy's administration, more than 50 black men and women were appointed to the executive branch.
Ain't got no home or no place to roam. Ain't got no home or no place to roam.
Concerned about your future? Don't know how to make it right? How will you get your credit back? Where will your family live? The financial crisis has become very personal. Sleepless nights, not sure how you can hang on. Reach out and let Reach work with you toward financial and housing stability again. The good folks at Reach are waiting for your call. They're a 501c3 HUD-approved organization with a heart. contact a REACH certified counselor today at 855-48-REACH or email housing at reachforhousing.org. That's REACH, the number 4, housing.org. Check out their webpage and success stories at reachforhousing.org. Call 855-48-REACH. That's 855-487-3224. Email housing at reachforhousing.org. Most of the services are free, so reach out. They'll reach back. 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home. I know Blaze is wrong. Ain't got no home. I know Blaze is wrong.
Welcome back to REACH Radio. I'm Alan Mason, your host, and Housing Heffy, enjoying the warm sunshine down here in sunny South Florida. Hey, you know what? If you're tired of paying rent and you want to lower your monthly payments, then you should know about REACH's first-time homebuyer workshops. The next workshop is Sunday, March 22nd, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the REACH offices located in Palm Beach Gardens. The next Miami Kendall class is March 8th. Registration starts at 12:30. The classes start at 1 and they go till 7. If you didn't register, don't worry. You may pay at the door. Folks, these classes are limited and they fill up fast. That's why we suggest you pre-register. Get your name on the list. Sign up at 855-48-REACH, 855-487-3224, and you'll get all the information about REACH's first-time homebuyers workshop. The first-time homebuyer workshop is a mandatory course if you want to qualify for government assistance using HUD, FHA, or any of the government facilities. And let me define for you a first-time homebuyer. REACH and HUD define a first-time homebuyer as someone who hasn't owned a home in the last 3 years. It means you could have been a homeowner for 20 years, but if you go 3 years without owning a home, HUD considers you a first-time home buyer. Just to let you know, there is a $49 fee for this course. That includes beverages and food. It is a six-hour course, so that's a long time to be sitting there without eating. Anyway, that's the first-time home buyer workshop coming up on the 22nd of March. Call the good folks at REACH, 855-487-3224.
This is REACH Radio in South Florida on 1230 WBZT and everywhere in America on iHeartRadio.
Okay, our first guest is the president and CEO of the Fair Housing Center of the Palm Beaches. He has filed several discrimination suits in federal and local courts, all for you and in the name of equality. He's appeared on the REACH Radio show many, many times. Vince Larkins, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Always a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, it's always an honor to be on with you, Alan.
Well, we talk about some of the neat stuff. Let me ask you this. Do you have any discrimination news that you can't talk about?
Well, I have, actually, there is something that we'd like to share with the public. The Fair Housing Center of the Greater Palm Beaches has joined a complaint, a HUD complaint, with the National Fair Housing Alliance and membership organizations throughout the country. This is a fair housing claim against U.S. Bank,
okay.
Where we allege that U.S. Bank discriminates in the way that it maintains its REO or real estate owned properties throughout the country in 41 cities based on race.
Wow.
And yes, the Fair Housing Center conducted an investigation in Palm Beach County and found major problems. Which pointed to discrimination and fair housing issues. And we are moving forward with that complaint along with the National Fair Housing Alliance and many, many member organizations in the state of Florida as well as throughout the nation.
Right. Now, I know you can't talk about some of these cases because they're in court, and that was kind of my little joke there. I know there's certain things you can't talk about. But
this is a lawsuit, though. This is an administrative complaint with HUD.
Oh, okay,
so
I got you.
I can talk about it.
No. Oh, good. Yeah. Well, the point was, and I think what we were trying to get across to the folk is that I'm shocked and surprised that we still have as much discrimination in this country as we do. I mean, it's, you know, how do they say it? It's settled law. It's the science has been cured. I mean, it's crazy that we still have this, and I'm amazed that every time you come on the show, you say that we have a long list of complaints. What's with it? Don't the people get it?
I mean, come on. Well, unfortunately, and I have to say, the people that continue to discriminate are in the minority.
Good. Good for that.
Many people throughout the country, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, and I don't want to leave anyone out, but everyone in the community is against housing discrimination, and on a bipartisan level. I just got back from D.C. Well, I was in D.C., and I stopped by the offices of our congressional delegation throughout Florida, and it's universal, no matter what side of the aisle you're on. So even though housing discrimination persists, the good news is that those who discriminate are on their own, they're by themselves, and they are isolated.
I was going to say, hopefully they're on their way out. I mean,
yes, hopefully they are. But unfortunately, our organization has to make sure that the laws are enforced. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the fact that in this complaint right here, that you have a major bank that in Latino and African American communities, the properties are just not kept, or are kept at such a bad level that they lower the property values of nice, decent homes next to them and throughout the community. And then when you go into neighborhoods where predominantly white neighborhoods, the properties are immaculate and pristine. Now, I know a lot of viewers are listening and they're saying, but I have a torn up, a terrible foreclosed property next to them. We're not denying that.
Right.
What we're saying is that U.S. Bank, who we investigated, we found direct evidence that they discriminate in how they maintain their properties.
Right.
So I just want to make that clear.
All right. So and what's the excuse that U.S. Bank gives? Do they have any reasoning behind their actions?
Well, it's normal. Without, I don't have a direct quote in front of me, and I would hate to quote them, but it would suffice to say that it's a normal practice for any defendant to deny that they are discriminating based on race or national origin or familial status or whatever.
Right.
But the evidence is strong. We have evidence from 41 cities throughout the country.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like they need a policy change is what they need, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, what else? What else does the Fair Housing Center do for our West Palm Beach residents? What in specific do you do there?
Well, one of the main things we do is make sure that properties throughout Palm Beach County are being administered, and there's no discrimination.
Right.
We have just recently. We have filed a lawsuit, which we talked about previously, mm-hmm. a lawsuit against two properties not far from you, Sonoma Bay Homeowners Association.
That's right.
And Marsh Harbor Homeowners Association. And we allege in that complaint that they discriminate against families with children by requiring families with children to turn over their report cards as a stipulation and in order to live there. Mm-hmm. And also to have curfews for children that have to be in their house at dark. Now, I know what some of the listeners are going to say. Well, I want my kids in after dark. And I agree. But
yeah, but that's not their job.
A landlord cannot require that your kids be in after dark.
That's right. You know, I was going to say, I had report card and curfew issues when I was a kid, but that was all administered by my dad. So
Absolutely. Same here.
he administered pretty darn good, too, the last time I remember, but I don't see where it's the right or the privilege or anything of a company or a corporate entity to be doing that. So I know, do you have a team of people that goes out and, I mean, it sounds like you do a lot of investigation, so you must have a team of people, right?
Yes, yes, we have a large team of testers, undercover testers. These are people who are dedicated to equality in housing, black, white, Hispanic, and volunteers from the Haitian community who feel that housing discrimination should be a thing of the past. So they impartially work with the Fair Housing Center, and they a similar thing would be shoppers.
Right.
Right. But ours are testers because it's more detailed than shopping. But for the listening audience, we do shop properties, lending institutions, homeowners insurance companies, and other entities to make sure that they are in compliance.
Great.
And I can tell you, I can report the good news, is that most housing providers are not discriminating. And that's a beautiful thing. The Fair Housing Center works in partnership with the Realtors Association of Palm Beach County. We've worked with the builders in Palm Beach County. I previously sat on the Commission on Affordable Housing for Palm Beach County for years, chaired that committee. And we work very, very closely with the housing industry and who want to do the right thing and are doing the right thing. What we're talking about is a minority of those who continue to live in the past and continue to believe that the best set of action that they have is to discriminate. And what we're saying is that this is something in the past. It's going to stop. You're by yourselves. We work in partnership with the realtors, the housing industry, government, the Justice Department, HUD, and we want to see the American dream come to fruition throughout
equally,
this country.
Equally for everyone. Folks, if you want to get a hold, Vince, we have to take a quick break. You wouldn't mind holding on. I know you have a personal story to tell us when we come back, but to get a hold of Vince, you can check out his website at fairhousingflorida.com. That's www.fairhousingflorida.com, or you may call him on the phone at 877-910-FAIR. That's 877-910-FAIR. When we return, Vince Larkin shares a personal story of discrimination within his own family. Here's another Black History Month fact. Sidney Poitier was the first black male to win an Oscar. The first actor to be voted for that, too. He's a heck of a guy.
Making home affordable. MHA can help you. Do you know your options? REACH is ready to help to make your home affordable. You may be able to lower your payment. You may be unemployed and need help. You may owe more on your house than it's worth, or your home is no longer affordable and you want a way out. Get real help today and real answers. Contact REACH, your HUD-approved housing counselor, and learn more about making home affordable, MHA, and how you can be helped. Email REACH at housing@reachforhousing.org. REACH, the number 4, housing.org. Our phone number is 855-48-REACH. MHA. Let's make your home affordable today. Don't miss out. Reach out. Email housing@reachforhousing.org. Reach the number 4, housing.org. Call Reach at 855-48-REACH. 855-487-3224.
Ain't got no home. I know a place to roam. Ain't got no home. I know a place to roam.
Hey, welcome back to Reach Radio. I'm still Alan Mason, your host, and Housing Hefe. We've been speaking with Vince Larkins. He's the president and CEO of the Fair Housing Center of Palm Beach. He has filed several discrimination suits in federal and local courts, just to name a few, in the name of truth, justice, and the American way. Vince, do you have a cape on today that says Superman at all? You in there, Vince?
We'll get him.
There he is. Sorry about that. All right. You say you have your cape on?
Yeah, I couldn't find a phone booth this morning. I don't know. They don't have any more phone booths around, Alan. It's wrong, you know.
You have to get down inside the cell phone. That's the way.
Yes, I guess so.
You know, Vince, you've told us this story many times before, and it's fascinating. We just love hearing it. Just we can have something to examine. It's the right way, the wrong way, difference and indifference. And I know that it was your aunt, I believe, or aunt, if you want to go that route, who had some problems up in Tallahassee back in the 50s, right?
And my uncle.
And your
uncle. In 1956, while attending Florida A&M University, my aunt, she was a co-ed, and she, her, and along, my aunt's name is Wilhelmina Jakes, she was born and raised in West Palm Beach, my mother's sister, and she and a lady by the name of Carrie Patterson got on the bus. And
this is in Tallahassee, right?
Yes, got on a bus in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
And this was about 6 or 8 months after the Montgomery bus boycott started.
Right.
And they were basically sitting, and, you know, you always sat where you could, farther to the back. And as the bus took on more passengers, the way segregation worked on the bus system is that blacks had to get up and give up their seat. Mm-hmm. Well, my aunt and Carrie Patterson basically refused to get up. They felt that they had had every right to that seat as anyone else. Well, the bus driver, calmly, he didn't argue. He drove to the nearest phone booth in Tallahassee, Florida in 1956, and he called the police. And my aunt says she'd never forget when the policeman stepped the board and said, "You girls want a ride? I'll give you a ride."
Oh, no.
Took them down. They were booked. And, Alan, they were booked for inciting a riot.
Well, we laugh now, but, you know, that's because when...
I know, absolutely. It's just incredible.
It's ridiculous is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So what happened is that, and to make a long story short, because I know we don't have much time, students at Florida A&M University were very angered by it, and that action by my aunt and Carrie Patterson sparked the Tallahassee bus boycott. And the students were very angry because that night, after my aunt was released, a cross was burned in front of her and Carrie's yard where they were staying, and they had to be frisked away in hiding. Students were angry, and it sparked the historic Tallahassee bus boycott of 1956, which, in fact, and a lot of people don't know this fact, was the first student-led boycott in modern civil rights era.
Sure.
Most people think of the sit-ins in the 60s, but it was the 1956 bus boycott by students at Florida A&M.
I don't want to tell you how to tell your story, but I did read it, and one of the fascinating items that I found in the story was when they first got on the bus and had the problems, I believe your aunt said, "Okay, fine, we'll get off, give us back our dime, and we'll leave." And the bus driver said, "No, I'm not giving you back your money."
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Golly.
Yes. That was quite something for her to say. Of course, she knew that you couldn't get in there and get that dime.
Yeah, exactly. But that's not the point. You know, the issue that she raised was the point. Fine, you want me off your bus? I'll get off the bus. Give me back money. And
absolutely.
Instead of giving them back the money, they called the cops and had them taken off the bus. That's just wrong.
Yeah, and a lot of people think of the sit-ins, like I was saying, in the 60s. And not to take away from anyone's contribution, and we're not just talking about people that are black. This was a movement for all people. There were students, white students throughout the country who took part, and people from the Latino community and all Asian community and so forth.
Yep.
So that I think it's important to note that the civil rights movement in the past and today, as it continues, is a people's movement for all people. And my uncle, just to share a little bit about my uncle, William Larkins, back in the 1960s, he was the president of Florida A&M student body, and he led sit-ins. At the same time, the sit-ins were going on all around the country. And he was jailed for 41 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to share something with the listeners that is dear to my heart. When my uncle said that after most of the students were bailed out, he and four other students decided to go forward with their sentences, which, 41 days is a long time. And he said that one of the guards brought back his young son to see them. And he said they stood up and they were ready. You know, they knew he was going to say, you know, this and these people and they're terrible and they're evil. And you know what he said, Alan? He said, son, these people are good people. They're doing the right thing, right? One day, these people are going to be vindicated. And I can't quote him exactly, but that's what he said. These people were doing the right thing, and they're not bad.
Wow.
And my uncle noted how that made him feel, because they were ready for a barrage of hateful words, which they had been getting from everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else, and they were very afraid.
I don't think it's about hate. I think it's about ignorance. You know, I believe that's where that probably lies. You know, our good friend Will Rogers said, ignorance isn't what you don't know. Ignorance is what you do know that ain't so. And, Vince, we're going to have to leave it right there. We appreciate you taking your time. It's a wonderful story. Folks, you want to get a hold of Vince Larkins, you feel you've been discriminated against in any way or fashion, call him up at 877-910-FAIR, 877-910-FAIR, or you can check out his website, www.fairhousingflorida.com. Vince, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Alan.
Hey, appreciate your time. All right, we're about to launch the second half of the Reach Radio Show. Directly after the news, Perry Borman joins us from the Palm Beach Food Bank, and he'll tell us how he helps people eat. I don't know how, but he'll tell us. Coming up after that, Reach Radio Spotlight Home of the Week. We'll show you how the good folks at Reach can make this house your home. Then, our house segment will tell you how to deal with those pesky rodents, better known as rats and roaches. Carlton Thompson is on deck for that. And we have more good news for anyone looking to become a homeowner in 2015. The Home Ownership Fair is your path to home affordable home ownership. Details just moments away. But right now, live from the Electronic Palace, happier than a three-year-old's first visit to the barbershop, it's Reach Radio's news at the bottom of the hour with our effervescent news guy, Steve Cody.
Why, thank you, sir. Good news for potential home shoppers. A Mortgage Banker Association index shows that lender requirements for credit scores, down payments, and other mortgage terms are finally loosening up. Some lenders even expanded the type of mortgages that they're offering. Now, these moves come after years of tightening loan requirements in the aftermath of the housing crisis. The newly released MBA index shows that recent improvements in lending are mostly tied to the government's efforts to ease regulation and to improve affordability in the housing market. For example, mortgage finance giant Fannie Mae is now allowing purchases of conventional mortgages that have down payments as low as 3%. And Freddie Mac is planning to do the same for mortgages closed on or after March 23rd. Also, the Federal Housing Administration, which insures loans with down payments as low as 3.5%, reduced its upfront mortgage insurance premiums last month, which is expanding eligibility for home purchases to thousands of potential shoppers. South Florida home price recovery remains among the best in the nation, according to a report from the Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller Home Price Index for Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. It rose 8.4% in December over a year ago. That's over a period of a year, 8.4%. Among the 20 metro areas nationwide, only San Francisco had a larger increase at 9.3%. But rising rents in South Florida and across the country are pushing people into home ownership because many renters can't afford to buy still. It's hurting the housing recovery. Widespread and rapid growth in rents combined with stagnant wages are keeping many would-be buyers stuck in rental housing because they're writing larger and larger rent checks instead of saving for a down payment. Stan Heffries, the chief economist for the website Zillow.com, said, "Today's renters are tomorrow's buyers, and the longer these would-be buyers stay on the sidelines, the longer full recovery is going to take." A Florida appeals court on Wednesday said a widow could not be hit with a $283,000 tax lien, rejecting arguments by Martin County officials who contended that her homestead exemption ended when her husband died. Mary Jane Spain filed the lawsuit, arguing that she was entitled to the homestead exemption. A circuit judge ruled in her favor. So did a three-judge panel of the appeals court, saying, quote, "The rule created by reading the Constitution and applicable statutes together shows that a husband and wife occupying a homestead where one of the spouses dies even though they properly applied for and obtained a homestead exemption, the death of one spouse will not destroy the homestead exemption of the other, so long as the survivor continues to use the homestead as his or her permanent residence. Well, it's been 9 years since the last hurricane hit Florida, yet homeowners across the state still pay twice the national average for basic property insurance, an average of over $2,000 worth a little over, as opposed to a little over $1,000 for the rest of the country, according to the annual homeowners insurance report that was released by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners. Flood insurance adds another $650 on average. Some 727,000 of us are still depending on Citizens Property Insurance. That's the state-run insurer of last resort that high-handedly transferred thousands of policies to newly established companies that have no track record at all of customer service. But policy owners who declare they would rather stay with Citizens are threatened with surcharges. Speaking of hurricanes, four of the 10 most costly U.S. catastrophes occurred in Florida. Hurricane Andrew in 92, Wilma in 05, Charley and Ivan in 04, a four-storm total of $42.8 billion paid out on claims, and insurance companies are not likely to forget that anytime soon. Florida had one of the largest declines in homeownership in the nation during the past decade. According to new figures from the Census Bureau, the homeownership rate in Florida went from more than 73% at the start of 2005 to under 65% at the end of last year, according to the census. The only states with steeper declines were Nevada, North Dakota, Minnesota, Alabama, and Arizona. Commerce Department data shows that the median size of newly constructed homes is quite a bit smaller, 106 square feet smaller than the record high of, in 2013. The medium home size now has fallen in each of the last three quarters, primarily due to a slow shift in the mix of residences being constructed. During most of the recovery, builders placed greater emphasis on bigger and pricier homes to cater to more affluent buyers who still had the means to buy them. But that began to shift in 2014 as builders started constructing a larger number of slightly smaller, less expensive houses. A number of builders have recently reported witnessing heightened activity by entry-level buyers, thanks to job and wage gains coupled with low interest rates and regulators' promises to ease credit standards. Average long-term U.S. mortgage rates have risen for the second straight week, yet they remain near historic lows. Freddie Mac said Thursday the nationwide average for a 30-year mortgage jumped to 3.76% from 3.69% last week. The average is still way below the lowest level since May of 2013. Police said that Christopher Smith called the police at around 9:15 p.m. last Tuesday night and reported a shooting on South Federal Highway in Stewart. Smith allegedly gave a description of the shooters and the cars they were in. While the dispatcher was trying to get information, Smith hung up. When police arrived, they found no sign of shooting or the males in question. They did find Smith. He allegedly made that 911 call, and halfway through the call, he became scared and realized it was not a good idea to call 911 just to test the response time of the Stewart Police Department. Well, Smith was right. Not only was he arrested for misusing 911, he also faces a charge of violating his probation for aggravated battery. He's being held without bond. Using caller ID, the police dispatcher learned Smith's identity and provided officers with a picture of him. When the officer confronted Smith, he admitted that he and a friend did want to check the police response time and that he hung up while speaking to the 911 dispatcher because he realized his mistake a bit too late. Dunkin' Donuts employees told police they recognized LaShawn Jackson on Saturday after he walked into the donut shop on State Road 7 in Margate wearing a mask and carrying a rifle. He left the restaurant quickly, went around back, discarded the rifle in a dumpster. Witnesses say that Jackson walked away, got into a red four-door Chevrolet with a temporary tag, and drove off. But while police were outside questioning the witnesses, one of them pointed at a red Chevy driving by and said, "That's him!" Officers followed him. The witness identified Jackson, saying they were 100% sure that he was the armed robber. They told detectives that he came into the donut shop every single day, and they recognized his hair, his style, his skin tone, his build, his mannerism, his eyes, and his voice. He was arrested. But get this. Jackson grabbed one of the officer's stun gun. The stun gun fired. No one was hurt, luckily. Jackson then declared that he was HIV positive, and he tried to bite the officer. Several officers did subdue him. Jackson faces charges that include armed robbery, kidnapping, aggravated assault, resisting arrest with violence, and escape, among others. He was ordered held without bond, according to jail records. Hopefully, Mr. Jackson will spend some time in jail learning, one, you don't attack police officers, two, you don't mess with their donuts. And that, my friends, is the news.
Well, I'll tell you, robbing a donut shop has to be number one on the list of stupidity, right?
Dum-da-dum-dum.
You bet.
This is Reach Radio in South Florida on 1230 WBZT and everywhere in America on iHeartRadio.
Okay, for more than 25 years, our next guest has consulted profit and nonprofit organizations, helping them improve their effectiveness, their processes, and leadership development. His experience in state government and the private sector is one of the reasons he founded the Palm Beach County Food Bank. Currently, he is the executive director and general all-around superhero over there at the Palm Beach County Food Bank. Perry Borman, welcome to the Reach Radio Show.
Thanks a lot, Alan. It's great to be here.
Do you have a cape, too?
I do not. Left it in the car.
Vince says he has a cape. He just couldn't get it on. Yeah. Couldn't find a phone booth. You know, that works. So, hey, you know, I was reading some facts here, and is it true that more than 57% of Palm Beach County's children are eligible for free or reduced lunch programs?
Yeah, actually, and this is a phenomenon that a lot of people don't realize, especially in Palm Beach County. This is a wealthy community. This is the 11th largest school district in the country. And we have, as you mentioned, more than 57% of all the kids who do qualify for free or reduced lunch.
You know, you would think in today's world, and we have all the computers and everything we needed to make us run smoothly, that there would actually be a hunger problem. How is that?
Yeah, well you know, this is a real estate show, and you've got, you know, lots of people who may be living in homes, can't afford to be in homes, and they're living in an apartment. And the common profile, people used to think that this is just a problem for homeless people. Mm-hmm. The hunger is just a homeless issue. The fact of the matter is that the more common profile is a woman, single mother with two or three children. They may be living in an apartment, just paid their rent on their apartment, and the mother does not have enough money to purchase food. We have 190,000 people in Palm Beach County who live at or below the poverty level. We have about the same number of people who are relying on food stamps to put food on the table. So hunger is a problem. It's a problem here in Paradise, Palm Beach County.
Mm. I was going to say, how bad is it? But I think it's hard to believe that we'd have a hunger problem, especially with the government programs, but they just don't go far enough, do they?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason the feds call it the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's supplemental. I mean, the average food stamp benefit for an individual is about $110 a month. For a family of four, it's not much more than that, maybe a little over $200. It's supplemental. It's not going to be enough to really feed your family if you're just struggling to get by.
Yeah, and that brings you down to hot dogs and white bread, right?
Yeah.
It's not a good thing. So what inspired you to create the food bank?
Well, given the needs in Palm Beach County, the Palm Beach County Food Bank started because we needed to strengthen the local hunger relief system. Mm-hmm. In any community around the country, including Palm Beach County, there are hundreds of organizations that take on the daily responsibility of feeding people. You know, the school system is the largest hunger relief agency in any community.
Nobody thinks of that.
Right.
You know, but you're right.
But it's true. Beyond the school system, you've got church groups, other organizations all throughout Palm Beach County that have food pantries. They operate soup kitchens to support families who can't afford to put food on their table. And there has never been a locally led, locally governed food bank to support the front line of hunger relief here in Palm Beach County. There's a couple other organizations that have been doing this work, but we needed to focus specifically on the county, the needs of these frontline organizations. So we started 3 years ago, and have grown very, very quickly. And we sort of serve, Food Bank is sort of like a Sysco or Cheney Brothers. We're a distributor to the front line of hunger relief. We're not really serving individuals directly.
I was just going to ask you that. How do you distribute the food? Yeah. You have like you said, you distribute to distributors.
Right. So we operate out of a warehouse in Lantana. We have a 6,000 square foot cooler and a 3,000 square foot freezer, and another about 7,500 square feet of dry storage space. And so we have trucks. We go out and collect food. We bring it back to our warehouse. And we have about 110 organizations that come to us once a week to get an allocation of the food that we have. And that's how it works. We also take a truck out to Belgrade and Bohoki once a week to serve the agencies out there so they don't have to drive all the way to Lantana.
You are working hard at it. Folks, you want to take a look at their website. It is www.pbcfoodbank.org. Obviously, the PBC standing for Palm Beach County. www.pbcfoodbank.org. Or you may call them on the phone at 561-670-2518. Again, that number, 561-670-2518. And we're speaking with Perry Borman. He is the founder and executive director of the Palm Beach County Food Bank. That's a fantastic thing that you do. Where do you get your food from?
Well, you know, it's interesting that we live here in Palm Beach County, and a lot of your listeners probably already know this, but we live in the richest agricultural community east of the Mississippi.
You're right.
There's about 24 vegetables or products that are actually grown here in Palm Beach County commercially. So there's more sweet corn that's grown here in the community than any other place in the United States, more sweet bell pepper. The reason I'm mentioning this is about 55 to 60% of the product that is donated to us is actually coming from the farming community.
Oh, from the growers.
Yeah, so which is really good because we want to be distributing healthy product to families. And we're unusual because a lot of food banks, when they start, they typically start with non-perishable canned goods.
Sure.
So we have a healthy amount of what we collect from the agricultural community. We have a lot of relationships with organizations like Publix. We go to 25 Publix stores twice a week and pick up perishable product, frozen hamburger meat and other things like that, bring it back, put it in our freezer, and then that's what we're distributing. So probably 200-300 food donors from country club developments that do food drives to a big relationship with Publix and then these significant relationships with growers in our local community.
Wow. You know, they used to grow a lot of strawberries down here. Do they still is that one of the big products?
Yeah, I don't think strawberries is I think you see more strawberries up in Plant City,
Yeah, and hey, you know what? I'm an old guy. I lived down here for a long time. I remember the U Picket fields. You go pick them yourself. That's great that the corporate world gets involved and helps you out. But I know you can't do all that without El Cash.
Right.
How do you get your funding?
Well, we started 3 years ago with the generosity and support of seven organizations. We actually are funded by the Palm Beach County government a little bit. Community Foundation for Palm Beach and Martin Counties, United Way of Palm Beach County, Quantum Foundation. So today our funding comes from philanthropic foundations, corporate sponsors, and individuals that, you know, learn more about what we're doing, like what we're doing, and want to contribute. Everything that we do, we actually have four programs now. Everything we do is at no charge to the organizations that we do it for. So just like every other nonprofit, we're out there raising money to help support the mission. We've grown really quickly. We think we're doing a really good job, but there's so much more to do to help struggling families in our community.
You know, there's nothing harder on the body than hunger.
Yeah.
When you realize that, you know that you have a mission to do in life, and people that are hungry need help. How should listeners, how can they help?
Well, there's several different ways. I mean, you can... Now, you mentioned our website, which is www.pbcfoodbank.org. You know, our phone number is 561-670-2518. If you want to learn more about what we're doing, you know, give us a call. We'd love to have people come by and just, you know, happy to take you on a tour. We're always in need of volunteers. Last year, we distributed close to 5 million pounds of food. We got a lot of things in these large bins, non-perishable and perishable products, and we need volunteers to help us sort through stuff, put it in smaller boxes that we actually then give our agencies. We have volunteer groups coming in Monday through Friday. So if you'd like to volunteer, learn more about the food bank, if you want to make a contribution, check us out on our website or give us a call. We'd love to talk to you.
Give you that website one more time, www.pbcfoodbank.org. That's pretty easy to remember. Phone number, 561-670-2518. Perry Borman, thanks a lot for taking your Saturday and coming in and sharing this with us.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You bet. All right. That brings us up to this week's Spotlight Home of the Week, brought to you by Pat Tracy and Associates. Her phone number, 561-351-8000. That's 561-351-8000. This week's Spotlight Home of the Week is more than special. It's not even here. And now allow me to explain. Pat Tracy, the executive producer of Reach, is a hands-on kind of a person, and she likes to be out in the field looking for homes. She could be in the studio with us right now, but instead, she is out in the field inspecting properties, which one day may be your home. As a matter of fact, Pat asks you to call her first thing Monday morning. Her phone number again, 561-351-8000. She is accepting properties on the spot so rapidly, we don't even have an updated list. So Pat says, call her directly. Why? Because she has the list. Pat Tracy knows the marketplace better than anyone. Give her a call first thing Monday morning and tell her you want a piece of the American dream. The home ownership is just a phone call away. That's 561-351-8000. That's her cell phone. I don't know how she snagged that number. 8,000, that's a pretty cool number right there. She's out in the field right now, but call her first thing Monday morning, and you'll be ready to start your journey to home ownership. And that would be this week's Spotlight Home of the Week, brought to you by, of course, Pat Tracy and Associates. So the number one more time, 561-351-8000. All right, we'd like to thank you for joining us every Saturday. We know you're out there because we receive your emails and phone calls. We appreciate your company. And we'd like to give a hat tip to Dick Tracy. He is the newest board member of Reach. Welcome aboard, sir. That's really his name, Dick Tracy. And he has a Dick Tracy watch, too. I've seen it. He calls it the iDick, but I think it's iPhone instead. Anyway, you can check out our website for the show at reachradioshow.com. That's where we keep all the archives. You can listen to past shows, and you can take a look at this week's Spotlight Home of the Week. Okay, it's time to get into Our House, this week's segment brought to you by ReachForHousing.org, your HUD-approved housing counselor. Joining us on the phone right now is Carlton Thompson. He is our resident pest control freak, here with some useful tips that rats and roaches will run from. Carlton Thompson, welcome to the show.
How are we doing today, Al?
Hey, we're doing great. It's a little warmer down here than it is up there, I believe, but we'll take it. I'm curious about rats and roaches. You know, somebody wrote a song about that a few years ago. I think it was Blind Melon Chitlin, if I'm not mistaken. So what's with the rats and roaches?
Well, if you get some rats in your house, one thing you want to do is try to seal off the house.
No, I'm not talking about relatives. I'm talking about rats. That's when we have relatives in the house, we seal it off too, but we use the locks. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carlton.
Is that all we can do is seal the house for relatives?
Well, do you have any other tips? Maybe we can take this segment in a different direction today.
Is this being recorded?
Of course. Fish and visitors smell after 3 days. That's a known fact. All right, so how do we even know we have little roaches? And not so much roaches. Let's talk about the rats. I mean, they're nasty, nasty things. If you don't have any cats around the house, how do you know you got rats?
Well, you'll see some droppings. You may see some gnaw marks on some wood. What you want to do is go around the house real thoroughly and try to find any little opening. And rats can compress their body down and get through the smallest of openings. If you don't think a rat can get through there, you're probably mistaken. Try to take some steel wool and pack that hole in and then fill it up with some behind it.
You said steel wool, right? Steel wool?
Because they like to gnaw, and they'll gnaw through stuff. They start gnawing on steel wool, it starts stabbing them in the gums. They don't really like that.
Ah, smart.
Maybe when we get together next time, I'll show you how that is.
I've been looking to add a little steel wool to my diet, so I'm glad. No, but that's a good idea. I've also heard that any hole that a rat can get his head through, he can get his whole body through.
Yeah, pretty much. So actually, trapping them, what you want to do, if you're going to use like a snap trap or something like that, which a lot of people think that's not real humane. You break his neck really quick. It's about as humane as it can get.
Just like hanging.
yep. What you want to do, though, is don't set that trap. Rats eat things that are different. So when you put that trap down there, they may just walk around it. Just pre-bait it. Don't have it snap. Go ahead and feed them for a day or two. Get them used to it. And pre-bait it. Set the trap. You're going to get yourself some rats, I promise you. I've seen a lot of rats.
That is sneaky, Carlton. That's sneaky.
Don't think, if you live in a fancy neighborhood somewhere and you got your million-dollar house that you can't have rats. I've pulled a bunch of rats. I mean, they don't see real estate lines and all that. So
So
they'll
can't
go anywhere where they got an opportunity.
We don't need to call Vince Larkin on the discrimination unit there, right? The rats don't discriminate. They'll come in no matter what. Okay.
Right.
All right. Now, what about those glue traps? Are they yucky or are they effective?
Glue traps are good. You want to make sure you're not going to have anybody get into any kind of glue trap, kids, pets. I personally, of all people, had my dog get into a glue trap. It's not fun.
All right, and then what do you do with the glue trap? Say you catch a mouse or a rat, and he's in the trap, and he's still alive. What do you do?
Well,
get a
usually
hammer?
That'll work. it'll be a little messy, though. But what you want to do usually is just go ahead and discard it in the garbage. They're going to either die of a heart attack through panic, or they're going to suffocate by gluing their mouth and their nose shut. So they're going to end up dying. They're not going to just sit there and live until they starve to death. But the glue traps, if you don't have anything getting into them, children or pets, they're good to set right on the floor next to the garage door, because that's a big opening right there. And anything, lizards, snakes, rats, mice, all that stuff can come right through there and come underneath that weather stripping. They'll get caught in that trap. And hopefully that'll give you an idea of what's going on at night when you're not seeing what's happening.
Okay, cool beans. We'll keep our eyes out for that. Carlton, always a pleasure to have you call in, and we'll check up next week on the roaches part of the rats there, okay?
Okie doke.
All right, super duper. All right, folks, just to let you know that coming up March the 14th from 9 to 2 p.m. is Reach's Home Ownership Fair. That's Saturday, March 14th, 2015. That's in a couple of weeks from now, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and that is at the Lake Worth High School in Lake Worth. That's 701 First Avenue South in Lake Worth, just off 95 by the railroad tracks.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, you bet.
Even if you're considering owning a house 10 years from now, there's a lot to learn here, and the list of participants is so long, we don't have time to read it, because it's time to say goodbye.
Oh, you think so? Well, that's about all the time left to us today, folks. We appreciate you spending your Saturday afternoon with us. A special shout out to all the future home buyers. This is your year. Take hold of the moment. Don't miss out. Reach out. Again, check out the show website at www.reachradioshow.com. That's where all the archives are. Next week, Ryan Daniels is helping neighbors, and he'll tell you how you can help your neighbors too. You want to listen to that show? That's pretty cool. Again, the Reach website, www.reachforhousing.org.
Ain't got no home. I know place wrong. I'm a lonely boy.